Let us turn now to Psalm 84, and let us read again, verse 5. Psalm 84, and at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. And when we were looking at this last Sabbath evening, we were trying to consider the man whose strength is in the Lord. What is true of him? And then we were to go on to notice his blessedness. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Whose strength is in the Lord, in God, the true God. Not in himself, not in any false god, not in fortune or luck or any of these things. Not just trusting that somehow or another things will work out all right. No. But trusting in this living, real, true being. Jehovah, the Lord. And we noticed that trusting in the Lord involves trusting in Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Now, for those of the time when this psalm was written, whoever might have written it, whether it was David or some other psalmist, it was a case of looking forward over years, and as it turned out, over centuries, till in the time of God's pleasure, in the time when it pleased God, the Son of God took on nature and came into this world and suffered and died in the place of sinners. And he was already saving sinners. He saved David. He saved Solomon. He saved many another. Going back, there was Samuel, there was Moses, and so on. Going forward, there were the great prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and they found mercy. Their strength was in God. In themselves, there were weakness. Certainly, some of them would have more natural strength than others. I mean, emotional strength, in physical strength, though that's not the real point at all. But you see, what are we unless we have Christ? What are we? Poor sinners deserving eternal punishment. And we need a Savior. We need someone we can put our trust in. And that's why Jesus Christ, the God-man Savior, why he was provided. Yes, he came. How thankful we should be for that. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's a great matter. He came to save sinners. People like ourselves. He made that provision. A suitable provision. He gives the assurance Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's an impossibility to be cast out, to be sent away, if we actually come to Christ, if we actually look to Him. But you see, the point just now is the strength and the source of strength. It's not from ourselves. It's because of Christ and what He has done. Yes. And you see, he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. How confounded sinners will be at last when they go down to a lost eternity. But why should we go down to a lost eternity when such a provision, such a salvation is within our reach? Yes, it is that provision. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, you see, we read in Proverbs 10, for instance, the name of the Lord as He has revealed Himself. That's the expression, the name of God, or however it comes in, the name of the Lord. What is revealed about the Lord is such as will assure us that He is like a tower, a defensive tower. And if we flee to Him, we will be safe. A tower. And if people get into the tower, or got into the tower in times past, they could expect to be safe. So it is with sinners. If they've got a new heart, if they're not trusting in themselves, but if instead they're trusting in God, then they will be safe. Safe from the devil. Safe from themselves. Safe from any and every danger. Because the Lord is their strength. The Lord is their protector. And you see, there is that verse in Psalm 71. The man is getting old, but he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. People might think they are trusting in God, but are they also trusting in something else? Now, let us note this. We may say, I need better health. And they go to the doctor. But you see, though they take the doctor seriously and follow whatever it is he says, it's not on the doctor or in his medication that they are trusting. They are trusting in God. That's how it should be anyway. Trusting in God. Whatever means they may use, whatever means in this world they use. They're not going to say, I'm trusting in the Lord, and therefore I don't need a doctor. No, but you see, we're to keep the two things in their own place. Make use of what means are available in the Lord's providence. and trust in the Lord to bless these means. And let us ask the Lord to help us to distinguish the two, and how to trust in the Lord and at the same time to make a proper use of all the means that are available. And then there's that blessed matter, which is the experience of Paul that he recorded in 2 Corinthians 12 about his thorn in the flesh. But he looked to the Lord, and yet the Lord did not take away the thorn in the flesh. That was his own wise way of working. You see, we can't dictate to the Lord how he will handle our situation. But, you see, the Lord gave him something better. He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Presumably, the thorn in the flesh was affecting his strength. We don't know what it was. We don't need to know what it was. But it was something serious. And it led Paul to the throne of grace three times. Three times, presumably, of earnest prayer. He was looking to the Lord. But there was more than one way that Paul's prayer could be answered. Not only to answer him in the terms of his prayer, to take away the thorn in the flesh, but to give him grace and more grace. "My grace is sufficient for thee," was the assurance. And let us seek to put that, in practice, into practice, but more to approach our situation in the light of that verse and in the light of the Lord's promise, when his people come before him asking to be delivered from a particular situation. The Lord's answer may be to leave them in that situation, but with grace to go on in dependence upon him, to say that the Lord is his strength. The man whose trust is in the Lord, we may ask to be delivered from a particular situation, but we are also to ask that the Lord would support us, that the Lord would give us grace to go on in that situation if it is his will. And see Paul probably at a later date in his life, when he is writing to the Philippians, and he is writing from prison, and he tells them, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Paul, is he being presumptuous? "I can do everything." But he doesn't stop there. He has more to say. And we could turn it round like this a bit and say, if God will strengthen me, then there's no limit to what I can do within the limits imposed by our humanity. But you see, whatever is a duty for me, in particular, whatever is a duty for me, then I can do it. And if the Lord is speaking to you about some duty and you say, that's beyond me, go back to this. Spend a few minutes with Paul, as it were, and say, there's no limit to God's grace. His grace was sufficient for Paul. And though I'm not Paul, still, God is the same. God can help me. God can give me strength. And however weak we might feel, the Lord can give us strength. You see, I was speaking about storehouses, basing what I said on the storehouses of Joseph in Egypt, while Christ, as one of whom Joseph was a type, Christ has his storehouses. And no doubt, as the years went by, the storehouses of Joseph were running down. Still, the storehouses of Christ are never getting any emptier. They're still as full. The grace that he distributes, it is infinite. And no matter how many handfuls of blessing you would take from an infinite provision, it cannot get any smaller. Christ's is an infinite provision. And what he is saying to every one of his children, you can't empty my storehouse. It will almost remain as full. And we might think back of the great men and women of the past. They're just plain godly men and women in the kingdom of God with their sins forgiven and going along the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. And however much has been taken out of Christ's storehouses in heaven, they're still as full as ever. So you're not to hesitate in going to Christ and asking for great things. The Bible encourages us to ask for great things. The salvation of our soul. Remember that there's an infinite provision. An infinite provision, even for sinners. You see, the call of the gospel assumes that the provision is unlimited. When we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace, when we are told by Christ, look unto me and be ye saved, we're not to say, oh, I think of the many that have come in the past. I know they are far more than I could possibly know. Is there enough left for me? Ah, yes, there is, absolutely. The storehouse is still full. And those who are going through life, thinking of that provision, that it's inexhaustible, that they be encouraged to come and to come again and to be receiving, believingly, to be receiving infinite blessings from the provision that has been made. And we're not to put any limit to what we are to do. See Paul's faith as he stood by the storehouse and stood looking at the open door of the storehouse. And he just went in. And he took all that he needed for himself. And he was seeking that many more would be brought to the storehouse. And many more would be brought into the storehouse. And that they would just take the blessings that are there by handfuls. By handfuls. Oh, we might say, if we're in somebody else's house, I mustn't be greedy. And in a sense, in our own house, we should say, I mustn't be greedy. With food and things like that. But as far as our souls are concerned, let us be greedy. Let us be greedy. Let us take all that we can. There's no limit to the strength of Christ. And blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. He gets large in handfuls. Perhaps handfuls is too restricted a word. Put your own word in. That implies the greatness of the blessing that is available for sinners. People might say, I'm not worthy. That's not the point. It's grace we're talking about. It's grace that the Bible is speaking about. It's grace that Christ is speaking about when he invites sinners to come. There's no limit. Yes. And see, David, he said, Psalm 31, I can do all things. Sorry, I'm back to Paul. David said, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. Deliver me from Satan, let us say. Deliver me from those who, however well-meaning, would tempt me into sin. Deliver me. That's a cry. It's a cry that assumes the infinite power of God. It's a cry that assumes the willingness of God to come and help in every time of need, in every time of weakness. And is that not what we are? Weak. Tremendously weak. But in the Lord there is strength. And that's what we're encouraged to do. To take God at his word. And that's just to say, to come to him believingly as one who is able to help us. But let us notice Jehoshaphat. And we read about Jehoshaphat. And he was in a very difficult position when various tribes came against him in battle. And what could he say? Where could he go? His strength was in the Lord. That was the thing. His strength was in the Lord. We have no might, he said, against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He's trusting. He's looking to the Lord, which is just to say that he is trusting. That's the way we should be. We are weak, and our strength is weak. Our prayers are weak. Our grace is weak. All the strength is in the Lord. That's the thing. And whatever our difficulty, whatever our concern, in particular our concern for the cause of Christ, there's strength in the Lord. We are to lay hold on that strength. In other words, we are to trust in Christ, to trust in God, who is able to help us. Oh, it might be the case of a sinner seeking for salvation and cannot and doesn't know which way to turn. You are weak. You cannot muster up any strength to go to Christ. But that's the one you need to go to. Cast yourself upon the Lord. Confess your weakness to Him. He may give you such an insight into Him and to His ways of working and to the provision that has been made and the fullness of the storehouses. And He can draw you in. It may be gradually. It may be all of a sudden. But He can draw you in. Commit your ways to Him. Commit your soul to Him. Ask Him to bless you. Nothing is too hard for Him. And we read about the deliverance. A miraculous deliverance. Yes. His enemies turned upon themselves. How that came about, one can't say, but there was this in it. The Lord worked in His holy and all-powerful providence. And that's the way with our situations, our spiritual situation, and everything else. We're to commit our ways to the Lord. We're to commit our situation to the Lord. We're to tell Him how weak we are. How ignorant we are, how little we understand. But we are to say, we are to seek to say at any rate, My strength is in Thee. Thou art the source of strength as far as I am concerned. And if we get that far, surely the Lord will meet with us. And deliver us. Surely the Lord will take us by the hand, supposing we're just hovering around outside the storehouse. But He can take us by the hand and bring us in. He can bring us in. We ask Him for that. Draw me, you see, should be your prayer. Draw me in. Draw me, and we will run after Thee. I and the people of God together. And by that stage, what we're describing is that the person has become one of God's children by God's grace. That's what we must have in our minds all the time. These deliverances, these spiritual blessings, they are all of grace. Yes, all of grace. And whatever answer God gives, it's to be received with thankfulness. May not be what we ask, as we just noticed in connection with Paul. But anyway, the Lord is wiser than we are. The Lord is wiser than we can possibly be. He is able. Yes. We have no might against this company. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon Thee. Jehoshaphat was in a good position. He says, I don't know what to do. I'm ignorant. But there's grace in the Lord. The storehouse is full. The means of blessing sinners, it's complete. But let us go on and notice the blessing. And no doubt, and at various stages in what I've been trying to say, you can notice blessing. But I'm going to put it in general terms, first of all, as the Lord said this to Israel in Egypt, chapter 6 in Exodus. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. The Lord was taking Israel, as it were, under his wing. He was going to lead them out. He was going to lead them on towards the promised land. He was going to bless. However rebellious they were, he didn't give them up. He didn't give them up. The Lord will not cast off his people. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. He's going to lead them all the way through the wilderness. I know that many of them fell in the desert, in the wilderness. But the Lord did not forsake Israel. And the Lord did bring them into the promised land. And the Lord will bring his people into heaven at last. And it's all of grace. They were a sinful people all the way through the wilderness of this world. Yes. There's no perfection to be found in this world outside of God. But you see, he brings the people on. He is faithful. Now that's a great matter. The Lord is faithful. He has given his people endless promises. And he is faithful to all these promises. What a blessing. It's a necessary blessing. Though the Lord may bring his people into his kingdom, although the Lord may take them to be his own people, although he will act as a God towards them, still they need his continuing care because they are weak, as Jehoshaphat said, I am ignorant. I do not know what to do. Neither do they. How can they get themselves out of this hole that they have dug for themselves, so to speak? How can they get themselves out of this hole? He can pull them out. Yes. He can pull them out. And it's to him they must look. The hole is too deep. They have not the strength or the power. They cannot drag themselves out. They cannot get over the top. However you elaborate it. But the Lord is able. The Lord can give them grace. That's the thing, you see. They are a blessed people. And they will get blessings every day. Until they are brought home to glory. What do I mean by everyday blessings? Well, there's this, that he doesn't allow the devil to get the better of them. He doesn't allow the devil to bring them down. He doesn't allow the evil heart of unbelief that is in them to get the better of them. Yes. And yet we must bear this in mind. They that are far from thee shall perish. They that are far away from God. Oh, you, people of God may feel far away. But the thing is that the Lord has them by the hand. Or he would change the comparison. The Lord is leading them on as sheep who will never be allowed to get away. That's to be in a blessed position. He will never allow his sheep to flee altogether. Sheep are liable to wander, but the Lord's sheep will be brought back, even if they do wander. But what a blessing to be kept from wandering. We should be asking for that if we are among the Lord's children. Yes. We might notice how the Lord speaks to Jeremiah about, first of all, the man who is blessed. And that's the man that is trusting in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Are they expecting blessings? They are to expect blessings. But why? Well, it's because of the Lord. That hope is in him. For he shall be as a tree planted. That's the believer. The man that is trusting in the Lord. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when he cometh. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Yes. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Until they are brought with gladness great and mirth on every side into the palace of the king, and there they shall abide. They are safe. Yes. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and a tree that is planted by the river, or perhaps an irrigation canal, in they will always have a supply of water. The people of God are in that position. The Holy Spirit will ever be giving them to drink out of the rivers of water which flow from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And by God causing them to grow spiritually, they are spreading out their roots by the river. And so, even if heat comes that would dry out the trees planted in the middle of the desert, they will not dry out. You see, however dead they might feel, the streams of water are still coming their way. They are not being forsaken. They have God's blessing. And on the other hand, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. The man that trusts in himself. The woman that trusts in herself, making flesh their arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see, they're trusting in themselves. It may be in a way that pays no attention to God, they're saying, everything's going to work out all right. It always does. Maybe a very selective analysis of their life. It doesn't always work out if we're not trusting in the Lord. It may not work out as we expect. That's another matter. The Lord always does better. If he doesn't do what's asked, he always does better for the people of God. Those who are blessed, you see, that's a blessing. That even if their prayers are not answered in the way they would wish, they might see, even before they leave this world, that the Lord did far better than what they could have expected. But you see, the one who makes flesh his arm, whose heart is departing from the Lord, he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places. He shall not see when good comes. Good does come after a period of warfare, or a period of famine, or some illness, some epidemic. It passes. But you see, these people who are departing from the Lord, of course, they need to be drawn. And that's what they're to realize. They're to cry out for the Lord's power. But, you see, the curse of God on those who are careless about their souls, that they may just be left. Oh, seek the Lord, sinner. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. But is this a determined, if there's a determination to go away from God, he might just leave you to yourself. And when things get better, you might not be in a position to get the benefit of it. But you see, as I said, those who trust in Christ are secure. He said, and I referred in a general way to this already, I give unto them eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish. That's what's true of you if you are trusting in the Lord. However weak, this is true, you will never perish. You will never go down to a lost eternity. You will never be left to yourself to go your own way. Yes, I give unto them not temporary life, but eternal life. Or go to the end of the psalm, to verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. We're talking about blessing. Our text speaks about blessing. God is speaking about blessing. The Lord God is a sun, a source of blessing. How much the sun in the sky is a source of blessing for people in this world. So the Lord is the source of blessing. And he's a shield. He's a source of protection. A further blessing. Protecting his people from themselves. Protecting them from destruction. Yes. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. And so Joshua was told, or perhaps I should comment on the next part of verse 11. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No thing that is good for you, child of God. Nothing that is good for you will he hold back. If he doesn't give you what you ask for, it's because he's got a better way. These things, even trouble, difficult trouble, it's because he can make that a blessing. Yes, we have to be molded if we're going to get to heaven at last. He's got a mold, and he's going to make us fit that mold, so to speak. It's not because he wishes to punish his people, but he is a wise blacksmith. That's the picture that is running in my mind just now. A blacksmith. And he's got a piece of metal. And it has to be brought into a particular shape. And it has to be heated hot. It has to be hammered at. And so on. But it's all to bring about the blacksmith's purpose, or the purpose of the customer. Well, stripping that back, what you're left with is the work of God in heaven, that he might have someone brought to glory in the shape that he or she should have, brought to glory in the shape that he or she should have, the shape of perfect holiness, bringing them to an end of their life in this world, full of trust in himself. And then there's that last act of his faithfulness, that he separates the soul from the body and brings the soul into the perfection of heaven. And the body is to be brought into the perfection of heaven at the end of the world. And that's a promise that will be fulfilled. Yes. So we are to be careful for nothing. We're not to be overly concerned about anything. If we have found Christ, we're not to be over-concerned about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts through Christ Jesus, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, we are concerned. We are disturbed. I'm speaking about God's children. So they're to commit their ways to God, commit their situation, commit what they see ahead of them, to commit it to God and the peace of God. Because they have committed it to God, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. They are to commit themselves to God for the sake of Christ, and they will experience the peace that God gives. And so they will go from strength to strength. Verse 7. 1 degree of strength to a greater degree of strength. Yes. And then you have this. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Verse 4. Blessed are they who are dwelling in the presence of God in this world. Blessed are they that are brought to the house of God, which is heaven. And they will be praising God. Something that, in at least a little degree, they began to practice in this world. Their praise will be full-hearted when they get to heaven. Praising God with the other people of God in perfect happiness. And there's no more trouble. be plenty trouble in this world, more or less. But that's over when the soul is brought to heaven. So the message of Scripture is, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, and blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You have the idea again at the end, very end of the psalm. And if you're afraid of yourself, that you're still not among the people of God, if you're not, that you have not yet received God's blessing, go to him. Cast yourself upon him. He is able to bring you to himself. He is saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Bless the word to us, Lord. We are poor creatures. We can well stand before thee as Jehoshaphat did and say, neither know we what to do, but oh, that we would say, our eyes are upon thee, we are looking to thee. Ah, may that be true. Whatever our concerns about ourselves, about our relations, our friends, the people in the congregation, the congregations connected with us, and the church of thy church as a whole, thou knowest the infections that have entered into thy church, the weakness, the man-centeredness, the lack of a sense of sin. Oh, have mercy. Take each of us into thine own loving care and bless us with all spiritual blessings. Draw us by almighty power when we cannot take one step towards thee, but thou art able. Oh, follow us with thy blessing. Bring us under thy blessing. Remove the curse from us if we have not yet come to that position. Bless us with a living faith in Christ, a gracious trust in him. Oh, be with us. Be with us every day we are spared in this world. And oh, take care of us. Remember those who are unwell. Remember those who are receiving treatment. Remember those who are in difficulties of any kind. Give us thy blessing. Wash away all our sin. Do not leave us to ourselves. Grant to bless wherever the word was preached from the truth today. Grant to bless a communion season and others to follow. Give thy blessing to us as a branch of thy church. Remember us at the meetings of synod. Grant to be ordering all things for thy glory. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.